The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Signal Hour. I am your host, Dr. Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity, and we got a lot to cover today. I love doing these Signal Hours. I love connecting with you. Check out the comments. Leave the comments. I'm going to be reading those as we go. Remember, Signal Hour is all about trying to find the signal inside the signal. The signal, of course, today seems to be X for the most part. Mainstream media, wow, just dropping the ball bigly, to quote Trump. It's really astonishing just how far we've gone. So today we're going to be covering a little bit on the California wildfires. I have to talk about this whole idea of going woke, going broke, because it's gotten pretty bad. It's a worldwide thing. And I think people are finally figuring out post the California destruction, at least in California, maybe a little bit more broadly, wow, something really failed us there. And this is the problem when you have people who are elevated or somehow begin to infect a set of positions who aren't there because of their competence. They're there for maybe other reasons. Nepotism, DEI, because other incompetent people don't like to hire people who are more competent than them. It's called the Peter Principle. You bring in people under you that are less competent than you, so you look better. And then, of course, when it's your turn to vacate that position, they take your spot. So on it goes. So let's go into the Signal Hour right now. First, this is just the horrifying destruction. Let me turn the sound off on this because we don't need that. It's just helicoptery sounds. This is Altadena. This is stunning that you have to just get 10,000 feet in the air to begin to appreciate the scale of the destruction. And when you have fires that are being put down by, well, let's say 50, 70 mile an hour winds, they can be highly capricious. They can jump all barriers. They can leave some structures unscathed while just tearing other ones straight to the ground. And it's just, this is going to take years and years and years, even for normal humans to recover from. But in California, where they've burdened themselves with additional building permits and regulations and coastal commissions and you name it, this is just going to be an absolute nightmare for all involved. So do not feel good for these folks here. And hey, Chris, good to see you too. Happy Wednesday. So that's horrifying destruction. But out of all of this, you know, we got some positive moments. This was potentially the most inspirational. Let me turn this down too, because it's got some music on it that's going to get us a strike. And oh, by the way, speaking of strikes, we've been running into our trouble with YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, just be aware that midstream, we're going to be turning off the YouTube portion of it because I'm going to have things I need to talk about that YouTube won't allow. They've gotten really censorious again. I don't know if it's because, you know, Trump just won or they're trying to lean in on the confirmation process. I don't know what they're up to, or they're just evil people, but they've really gotten bad again, not just to me, but I think you might have seen Dr. Drew, a doctor, got strikes, multiples, for talking about doctory things that were just somehow in YouTube's inestimable wisdom. They will show you endless shorts of things that are of highly questionable moral character, but they won't allow you to have in full informed consent about things. So just be aware, if you are watching this on YouTube, we are going to be jumping ship. You'll find us on Rumble. You'll find us at Peak Prosperity. You'll find us on Twitter. You'll find us on Odyssey. This live stream is going out across everything. But this was astonishing. If you haven't seen this, these are Canadians. Oh, look how tight that was. Coming in, grabbing a few thousand liters of water, just had time for a quick dip. And oh, just cleared that. But I guess they knew exactly what they were doing. And then, oh, look, that little hotspot is now gone. Whoever the pilots are, plane 246, unbelievable. Watching the other, the ones dropping the fire retardant. Some of these people, I can't believe that these planes aren't crashing all the time, given the risks they take, how slow they fly. It's really astonishing. So there is real inspirational stuff coming out of here. The firemen are working hard. The smoke crews, these plane, the helicopter and plane pilots dropping the stuff. It's really astonishing what we're seeing. Now that's competence. That's what that should look like. If you had seen any, I was watching this video of of the mayor of LA, and somebody was just asking her questions, sort of ambushed her at the airport and said, "Hey, why were you in Ghana, not here?" And she couldn't, there was nothing coming out of her mouth. Like, she, as a politician, was unable to think extemporaneously and talk. That's like one of the few requirements of politicians, is to be able to open your mouth and make words come out on command. I don't know what she would be hired for if she wasn't in that particular position. It's unclear to me, but man, this, I've probably watched this, I kid you not, 100 times. This is just unbelievable, the risk they took, but I think it was calculated. They knew exactly what they were doing. Look at the shadow. You can tell how low to the ground they are. Wow. Unbelievable. Love that. So good job, Canadian pilots there. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't Justin Trudeau. Now, we're going to have to talk about this larger thing that's been happening since the Trump election. We're really seeing the camps exposed. And so, as you probably know, I am not at all about, I'm all about free thinking, free thought. I absolutely love being challenged. I love seeing where different points of view take us. I change my mind all the time. I don't change my core integrity or belief structures or morals, but how I think about things and what I think, that's always up for grabs, because guess what? We grow, we learn, new things become available. Now, the thing that I really despise about the way CNN has gone, besides the fact that obviously CNN failed us comprehensively, not just during COVID, but I think during most of their reporting, it's very partisan. It's worse than partisan. It's ideological, right? I can get partisan stuff. People scrap over politics and power. I get it. But that's not what's going on at CNN. They're promoting an ideology that I think is fundamentally destructive. It's corrosive. It's going to break the country that they nominally serve, because we're going to end up with a lot of people who are, well, wrapped up around too many of the wrong axles and not actually getting on with the productive stuff of building and doing productive things. This was astonishing, even by CNN standards. Watch what is said, listen to what is said, and watch the CNN anchor absolutely do nothing in response.
This, as an
Aisha,
American,
let's talk about Kamala
makes
Harris.
Me really concerned.
Let's talk about Kamala Harris.
As a black lesbian who Donald Trump doesn't believe has genes as good as his, is he going to attempt to
really?
Exterminate
me why do you
when he
that,
gets
Aisha?
Elected? Because he's
that?
Damn near said it. That's why, David. That's why.
Why do you believe that? Because he's damn near said it. That's not quite actually saying it. So she's charging Trump with believing that his genes are superior to a black woman's. You hunt as long as you want. And if you find it, let me know. I've never seen anything even remotely close to that. In fact, if Alicia had actually been checking this out carefully, she would note that Trump actually has the most diverse incoming cabinet and picks of any president, any, including Obama and Biden, especially. But let's carry on, because it gets worse.
Because he's,
okay, and I'm not going to be lectured by some white man who has no idea what he's talking about.
I'm not going to be lectured by some white man? Just imagine Baldy there reversing that and saying the exact opposite of that. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, right? That would be particularly
violent. It's
trying to
rewrite history here.
Aisha, shame,
I am afraid,
on you, Aisha.
As an American, Aaron, of a Donald Trump presidency and his actual quotes.
Shame
on
you, Aisha.
Because I take him seriously, and I think that he believes what he says, and that is why he is a danger and a threat to America.
Aaron, you can't have a
All right,
rational
let me just
discussion.
Say, I appreciate
to talk okay. about topics.
All right, well.
Way to go, Aaron. Super job there. I see why you earned the big bucks as an anchor, because you just managed that situation just so smoothly, unbelievable, so professionally. Yeah, yeah, I agree, MC. You know, come to think about it, they are the intolerant racists. They are. They say that we should be selecting on the basis of skin color alone. They say that we ought to be allowed to hate people because of their skin color alone. Look at her. She's like, I am not going to sit here and be lectured to by a white man. Great. If he reversed that, if you can't reverse that statement and have it be okay, then it's not an okay statement. But they think they can get away with it. They're actually on the run right now. The whole DEI, this is crazy talk. Okay. and it's not helpful, and it's very divisive. And of course, you know, this is the way that they've decided they want to go. Now, let's see here. Endo explained, a cult adopts an ideology that it sustains with endless propaganda and regular projection. No question mark. I'm going to take a question mark off for you, put a statement on there, put a period, maybe an exclamation point. It's absolutely the case. Endless repetition. So they've been repeating these things that are wrong for a very long time. And now we get to see the actual full fruition of this approach. Now, here's why I go at these sorts of topics the way I do. It is my belief that our main institutions are failing us really comprehensively. Okay, now we've seen this in healthcare, and we've seen it with respect to how the FDA and the CDC are conducting themselves and the things that they have and have not done that collectively have given us probably, not probably, inarguably, the worst health outcomes with the most expense of any industrialized or developed nation out there. Now, that's just in one area. Our energy department similarly shot through with people who just are not making good strategic long-term decisions for our country. We have to worry that all of the political leadership in DC, similarly, it's all about ideology points, which are fundamentally irrelevant to getting along with reality. And that's what we have to talk about here. My big pitch for a long time has been, the further away from reality we get as a species, as a nation, as a people, the more risks we're going to face and the fewer recovery options we're going to have available to us when, not if, but when, on these trajectories, our monetary system blows up, our fiscal situation absolutely gets ruinous, inflation spirals out of control, we don't have an energy policy, so we end up in energy poverty, and that's what we're going to be talking about in Go Woke, Go Broke. I'm going to show you the data. That's it. It's just the data. Now, they, on their side, might call me, say, vaccine hesitant. Vaccine hesitancy is a real thing. I would call them, in response, data hesitant, because when you get new data, you know what you do? You adjust your thinking because you have new data now. That's what business is. That's what life is. So let's carry on. So this is an actual abominable Congress critter, as I like to call him. Chris Murphy out of Connecticut saying here that responding to Bad Ombre. Let me start there. January 4th, Bad Ombre said, deranged Senator Chris Murphy went on NBC, made the claim that RFK Jr. wants to kill our kids. That's what he said. Wants to kill our kids. This type of irresponsible language and insane lies are purposely intended to inspire political violence. It's actually called stochastic terrorism. You signal from your perch that wouldn't it be a terrible thing if something bad were to happen to Trump or to RFK or to whatever. You just sort of say those things. You don't say what he actually said there about your opposition. And then you kind of trust that somebody out there is just going to pick it up and run with it. OK, so that's stochastic terrorism, saying things like RFK Jr. wants to kill our kids. In response, Chris Murphy says, what? We don't have to treat conspiracy theorists like RFK Jr. with kid gloves. It's simple. He spent his career fighting school vaccine programs. If they atrophy, kids will get killed. And then he carries on from there. This is actually a really deranged point of view. You can listen to any one of literally 100+ interviews where RFK Jr. has said the same thing over and over again, which is these vaccines that we're mandating have not been properly tested. So let's test them. And if after at the end, and we just keep them, your choice, you want to use them. But if at the end of the testing period, we find out that we could improve the formulation, or it's not as good, or it doesn't do what we thought it was supposed to do, then we'll have more data and we can make a science-based decision. All RFK Jr.'s ever said so far to this point is that politics has a seat at our medical decision table. Money, of course, has the chairmanship of that particular decision table. Wouldn't it be nice if science also had a seat at that table? So we had some science. I would love to put science in the chairmanship position, but let's be realistic. It's just time. We've got political interests. We got money interests. So it's all about power. Those two things are two sides of the same coin. Then we should also have science as a seat at the table. That's all he said. And of course, that offends somebody like Chris Murphy, who's actually running an ideological point. Now, how dangerous is this ideological point of view? It's interesting. This is why I do the Signal Hour. We're sharing entirely different mental, cognitive, intellectual landscapes now, often. And I don't know how that happened. I don't think we've ever been quite this divided. Is it some emergent feature of our particular social media platforms? Is it the way the algorithms are sort of sheepdogging us into our separate camps? So I read what I read and you read what you read and there the two shall meet. I don't know, but I think it's pretty astonishing when you get to this. This was an exchange with John Cryer, the actor, with Bill Maher during one of his, you know, more informal things where they sit down with, I guess he's got a bottle of whiskey there and, you know, cluttered table of stuff. But this is astonishing. Think about this from the perspective of just how different John Cryer's mental landscape might be from yours or mine. But certainly he shares it with Alicia, which we just saw on CNN, I think. And I'm wondering, where did they get their information? How does it get here? It's an open question. I don't know.
I think the whole country, even unless you're like stupid woke, I hope you're not, but you know, it is Hollywood.
Somewhat stupidly woke.
Okay. The whole country was like, I mean, I think the biggest issue for the election, one of the biggest ones, was Democrats pointlessly, totally just punted on immigration and let anybody who wanted to walk in for 3.5 years did. And, you know.
Well, I think they would probably disagree that people walking in probably felt like it was a little harder.
No.
No, John. Actually, they were bussed in. They had to, the walking in was for whatever reason, because I actually went to the Darien Gap with Michael Guillen, 4-hour canoe ride, dugout canoe ride up into the jungle to get to one of these camps where we saw people after the arduous walk through the Darien Gap part, which is the gap between Colombia and Panama, where there's that little mountainous region and all that jungle. They did walk there, but then there were buses waiting once they got out of the jungle part. And there's a multi-billion dollar industry to ferry them from that spot northward. And it involves planes, trains, and automobiles, some of them officially funded. So that is actually the case that many of them didn't. You're right. Many of them didn't actually walk here. They got transported here. All right. Just to carry on.
No, actually, there's a great 60 Minutes piece on it where the border. I mean, you don't get 8 million people here by making it difficult. You see they're walking through and the water guys are just watching them do it. They're just watching them walk past. You never saw that?
I did not see that.
See, that doesn't get it.
See, I did not see that. How does he not see that? What are you? How do you not see that?
In the liberal media. That's the problem, is the bubbles we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had it right. Like, that kind of stuff is what lost the election for the Democrats. It's in all.
Maybe part of it? I don't know. I think a lot.
They have polling on it.
Well, I think it's inflation. I think Americans hate inflation.
That's certainly
they hate inflation. They hate riots, and they hate black women.
Americans hate black women. Speak for yourself, John. I don't know anybody that does. I just don't. What are you talking about? Americans hate black women?
Oh God, John, we're not.
Dude,
gonna.
They just spent hundreds of millions.
They
of dollars
don't hate
humanizing
black
trans people. And that's disgusting.
Yeah,
that
we shouldn't talk politics.
Okay, we shouldn't. Great. We don't have to.
John, we're not going to.
They just spent hundreds of millions
they
of dollars
don't hate
demonizing
black
trans people.
Hundreds of millions of dollars demonizing trans people. What is even being talked about here? I have no idea. But John has that full-blown Trump derangement syndrome. I think it was a weaponized program. We've discussed this in the past. The fifth-generation warfare is pretty potent tool sets that whatever happened, it broke doctors' minds, it broke professors' minds, it broke actors' minds. In fact, if you notice, the more highly educated somebody was, or the more they were sort of in upper-middle management of culture, the more susceptible they were to getting their brains really broken. And if you haven't seen Sam Harris, don't bother. I mean, I don't know why he gets any more airtime after saying he would prefer to see basements full of dead kids than Trump get into office. He displays, though, this ruined frontal cortex, this inability to logically comport with reality anymore. But John Cryer's reality is that America hates black women, and somehow hundreds of millions of dollars were spent demonizing trans people, which from my perspective, what happened was some people were saying, hey, can you not do trans story reading hour with my 5-year-old with your sack hanging out, for instance, right? There were legitimate gripes. And this, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how we have a worldview that's that fundamentally different. But here's the difference. If I have a fundamental worldview that John doesn't like, I'm still going to be a good businessman. I'm going to be a good father. I'm going to be a good community citizen. When people with John's predilections get into power, they break things, which we just saw in California, but we're going to see they're breaking this at the country level. It's pretty bad. And here's another abominable Congress critter to round it out. This from my own state of Massachusetts, Representative Jake Auchincloss says, in an alternate universe, Senate Republicans would be rejecting RFK Jr. outright on principle. He sounds like a principled man. Here on Earth, we at least need Senate Democrats to hold the line and make clear that an anti-vax, anti-science conspiracist is not fit to run federal health programs. So, Jake, my question to you is the same one I had before. You didn't respond on Twitter, so maybe I'll just put this out here again. Are you saying we need more principled people like your dad, Hugh Auchincloss, who conspired with Anthony Fauci to cover up the lab creation origin of the virus and therefore whose actions are complicit in the deaths of millions of people worldwide? I mean, that kind of person? Is that what we're talking about here? Is that the kind of principle that we're aspiring to? We're just trying to figure out where you're coming from here on this. So if you could get back to that, Jake, that would be awesome, because we would like to know what you actually stand for. Just to be clear, I stand against this, and I'm still waiting for somebody to go to jail for this. Somebody's got to go to jail. Now, we're going to turn now to in the UK. Listen, to, you know, I get it. TV programs like their controversy. So CNN, I'm sure the anchor was like, well, this is a little rough, but you know what? At least my guests are shouting at each other, and that makes for good eyeball retention in the outrage model of journalism. So this may well be part of that in the UK edition. And so here we're going to hear from a couple of sides of this this debate, such as it is, about the grooming gangs, which I think I can say safely here in still. But it's a bad issue. But what caught my eye about this, the reason I wanted to share this with you right now, is the degree. Look at how the audience, what they are virtue signaling about and what they're supporting and where they stand on these things. I think the UK is in for a tough road in the coming years.
So is this a cultural problem in this country?
I don't think that there is a so-called rape culture. I think it's a very emotive phrase. I think most men know that no means no. I don't think that we've become more of a rapey society. But I think one of the points you made, you referred, I think, to the grooming gangs in Rochdale and in Rotherham, and it's not just in the north. It's in Telford, in Norfolk. It's happened. We've got these organised gangs, mostly of Muslim origin. I think we need to. It's a fact.
It is also a fact.
I mean, you can just sort of see how this is going to go. So that's an outrageous thing to say, even though it's established court records and it's an established fact pattern at this stage. Joe Blow, I can't disagree. Question Time is terrible BBC propaganda. BBC is just awful or very good propaganda, depending on how you want to look at that particular thing. But it's absolutely not good what goes on at the BBC. But This just carries on. Alice, listen to a little more.
Let me finish. Thank you very much.
Let him finish and then come back in.
I'm not spreading lies.
I'm just telling you what the member of that audience are actually, they are screaming at.
Oh, look, I got the audience on my side. That means you must be wrong. He's like, well, do you read the newspapers? Do you read court documents? I mean, this is where we're at, where somebody's ideology can allow them to completely overlook the facts at hand. And that's a problem, because we're facing a lot of predicaments right now. Problems, those have solutions. Predicaments, they have outcomes. And you just have to manage them as best you can. Okay. Problem, our GDP isn't growing as much as we want. We can goose that. Predicament, our population is now tipped over and is falling and is aging rapidly. That's Japan, right? So you can't solve the problem of a declining GDP because you have this predicament of the fact that you have fewer old people sticking around. So when you have a predicament, you got to sit down and go, okay, how are we going to manage the outcome from this? Because there's not a solution to it. There's no solution to make Japanese people suddenly have babies 20 years ago or live longer and decide to really go on spending sprees in their old age. It's just not how humans are built. So when you're facing a predicament, you need adults, clear-eyed adults in power who know how to make what we call a business decision, I guess, which is every decision's a trade-off. That's the best way to think about them. You know, you do this or that, this pros and cons on each. So we're getting to the point where we're going to have to make serious trade-offs. So we're going to need people who can think clearly. The point I'm making, the case I'm building here, is that those who have an ideological orientation to the world, they can't even deal with the data. It doesn't affect them. It's a bizarre thing. So let's listen in just a little more.
Why don't you read the newspapers?
Screaming at you.
If you look at the names that have come up in the court cases, you will find that most of them are of Kashmiri, Pakistani.
Nullifier. Nullifier now, please.
You talk about rape culture. It's a very pretty state of affairs when the police and the social workers would not deal with this problem because they were too embarrassed about being called racist.
You're turning a question about sexual violence into one about religion. First point. Second point.
Talking about
can I just finish? Second point. You and I know, James, that a majority of rapes and sexual violence perpetrated in this country is done by white Caucasian people.
Oh, the audience is very pleased with that result. So that whataboutism is interesting. He was talking about a cultural aspect, and she turned it into one of religion. He mentioned nations with cultures, Pakistan, Kashmir. She mentioned a religion. At any rate, it just goes on from there. I won't subject you to more of it. It's very clear that there's a whole generation of people who no longer can really think and think clearly and think on their feet. Okay. So, but when you get the story wrong, sometimes it's a little painful. And sometimes I got more than a little schadenfreude on this one. In case you didn't notice, Moderna stock yesterday was down almost 20%. And that's just on top of. So now it's down a collective 93% from its high point in 2021, where it topped out at a little over $450. And now it's at $33. Couldn't happen to a nicer company. I'm not at all entirely upset about this, as you can tell. Terrible company, terrible product, did some very terrible things. So to everybody who bought into the hype of this, there's some brokenness going on. So let's talk about this. What does it mean to go woke, go broke, right? We saw it with Bud Light. We saw it with Disney, right? Obviously, you know, they didn't go broke, but they certainly hemorrhaged market share and hemorrhage potential profits big time as they sacrifice themselves on top of the trans altar, as it were, I think mostly. At any rate, so when I say go woke in this case to me, what does it mean? It means that you are adhering to an ideology, and that ideology is going to be around something vague, something abstract typically. So the debate we have today is really between the people who live what I call reality and people who live in the world of abstractions. You live in reality. You have to wake up 5:30, get in your car, go somewhere, lay some bricks, perform some services, do something, trade your time for money, come back home. If you're an abstractionist, you live in a world of abstractions. Maybe you're working on your third master's degree and you've kind of delayed adulthood to you're in your mid-30s. You work with PowerPoints. You fundamentally think about things in abstract terms. But when it becomes your organizing identity politic, right, I belong to the group of abstractionists, right, and I'm going to defend that vigorously, then it starts to become quite negative. And of course, if you have an abstraction, that's fine. I deal in worlds of abstractions all the time, but that has to tie back to reality at some point. My definition of woke is that these are people who live in a world of abstraction, and they've lost or reject the tying back of the results of their actions back to reality at some point, to course correct, to say, how are we doing? Do more of that, less of that. You got to tie your abstraction back. Look, we saw this in San Francisco, right? They said, well, we're caring people. And we notice that it's really disruptive when people go to jail for long periods of time because of shoplifting. So I know we'll raise the shoplifting felony limit from $250 to $950. And this shows that we are, in an abstract way, caring about these poor people. What'd you get? A lot more shoplifting, predictably. So because now there's 950 and there's no penalties, really, and the courts get overwhelmed and you bring in a Soros DA as a prosecutor who doesn't really prosecute. And so that vibe goes out very quickly and humans respond to incentives. You show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. People are now incentivized to go out and steal stuff. They steal more. Now your businesses are closing down. Your downtown is a literal ghost town. People are stepping over feces. There are dead people in the street. There are people who get Narcan all the time. And you look at that, eventually your abstract city council should come outside and look at the sidewalk and go, that didn't work. That loop is broke. So when I say go woke, I'm saying there's something wrong with that reality loop. It's not circling around. So Canada, sorry, Canada, you've been my whipping boy for a while, but for good reason. Finally, Justin Trudeau is gone and the extra hideous Chrystia Freeland. But they did a lot of damage. And right now, a new report just came out from MNP. They say that the number of Canadians teetering on the edge of financial insolvency increased significantly this last quarter. Half, 50%, 50% of Canadians now indicate they are $200 or less away from insolvency. Now, that is a significant 8-point increase from last quarter. That's enormous. This news just came out. So this is not good, right? Obviously, whatever the Canadian leadership is doing, at some point you would go, wow, half my households now report that they're $200 Canadian dollars away from insolvency. This is not good. Eventually, you'd sit down, you'd come outside, you'd look around as a politician and go, we got to adjust this, right? And it's because of how they've overdone their regulations for themselves and where they've put their spending priorities. Okay. So Canada not doing so good. And Table Salt writing here that 39% of Canadians say they are currently insolvent. 39% when four out of 10 of your countrymen are insolvent, you broke something. You did a terrible job. You really did. Something is very, very, very wrong with this situation at this point in time. And I lay this at the feet of people who, they don't know how to run a country. They may not know how to run a business. They do things that are in service to their ideology, things that sound good, feel good, but that fundamentally don't help your country be more prosperous, more happy, more healthy, more wealthy, more prosperous. Just doesn't work. Okay. But this is a worldwide phenomenon. No, not true. It is a Western civilization phenomenon right now. Everywhere that the WEF targeted for their Great Reset, and we really need to do things better, and it's going to involve all this complex stuff and a lot of abstractions, and we're just going to build back better after we destroy everything first. I guess that was the plan. But here we're seeing, according to Objecto Germano, and this is a Bloomberg table down here showing that the Germany GDP is now going to contract for the second year in a row. So at this rate, he writes here, Germany will join France and the UK as being poorer in GDP per person, per capita, than the poorest state in the United States, that's Mississippi. Germany, on average, is already poorer than the second poorest state, number 49, West Virginia. So this is Germany, and Germany is happening for very predictable, very obvious reasons. I've been covering this at Peak Prosperity for years. Energy is the lifeblood of your economy. Always is, always has been. So here we're seeing that EU industrial production is not 100% down across. Let me see. Let me get my laser pointer out here. All right. You can see here, this is Poland in the red line and Denmark. Poland and Denmark are doing A-OK here, and they've expanded since 2018. Their industrial production is up 30-ish percent since then. But all of these other five countries down here. So that's France, Italy, Spain, Germany, are all less than they were 7 years ago. Okay. And, oh, this is interesting. Look at this. We have here that Germany, has very high electricity costs, and Italy has very high electricity costs, and France has very high electricity costs compared to their peer averages. And this explains everything. Now, why are they doing so bad? Why is their electricity so high, industrial production so low? Because they had this ideology that what they wanted was green energy. So they ran towards green energy without having adults in the room, grid level engineers, people who could do math on the back of a napkin going, you know, if we put too much of this stuff in, it's actually going to make our grid unstable because these are intermittent sources of electricity. And also, I've presented this data many times, the more of these things you install, the more expensive your electricity becomes. So somebody in power, in this case in Germany, that would have been Habeck's job, to sit down and go, maybe there's only so much of our ideology we can afford, or maybe a certain pace beyond which absorbing it is very bad. And so maybe we shouldn't do that. Now, look at the top of that. Who's got the worst, most expensive electricity costs? That would be the UK. Wonder how the UK is doing. Let's tune in and find out.
So the United Kingdom today is, on average, per person, 40% poorer than the average person in the United States. A U.S. worker could stop producing in August and still produce more in the year than the average UK worker working through the end of December. The poorest state in the United States today is Mississippi. If the United Kingdom were a member of the United States, they would be poorer than Mississippi. And the poorest states in the United States today have the benefit of actually growing at a pretty decent clip, 2, 3, 4% per year, compared to 1% of the UK.
Well, I guess they're not doing a lot better. And of course, the UK is struggling with ideology in a big way around green energy for sure. But as you just saw from that little clip from the BBC, they're struggling with ideology. They're all wrapped up around racism, right? You see, they got that whole energetic room full of people all outraged and booing and hissing and all of that. Whereas if you put those same people, you couldn't even attract into a room where you said, we're going to discuss the UK's energy policies and how those are contributing to us going broke and our immiseration as a people and as a nation, because that's the ideology doesn't have anything to do with this. This is reality. Dealing with energy is a reality kind of a topic. So don't think it would get us much traction, probably almost no traction compared to talking about the latest outrage du jour going on. Now, so again, yeah, look, here's the hype. Let me make sure I got my laser pointer back. Here's the hype. In Financial Times one day, I was reading that wind and solar and hydropower are set to generate more electricity than fossil fuels in the UK this year. Yay, rah, 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 rah. They're all excited. Look at that. Fossil fuels coming down, renewables coming up. And the problem with that is the more of that they do, the poorer they get. This is not good. Joe Blow writing in around this very topic saying, it's cheaper for me to run my log generator when there's no wind and it's cold. Power over 70 pence per kilowatt hour. So, ouch. That sounds like a lot. Here we have Endo saying UK has a Marxist government run by ideologues. They absolutely do. And MC writing in that if we were serious about energy, we would have invested in safe nuclear 50 years ago. And that's absolutely true. We need nuclear energy in the biggest darn way. Let's see what we can do to get some seriousness back to the conversation, because if you have abundant, stable, cheap energy, you can have whatever else you want. Prosperity comes off of that. You decide what you want to do with that. Abundance, safe, cheap, stable energy. You want to make large stone heads that face east? Go for it. If you want to, invest in ways you can get to soccer practice that's 200 miles away on a daily basis, I guess that's what you're doing with it. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Be frivolous or be serious about it. But it all begins with energy. And this is a very unserious policy, and it's going to bite, and it's biting hard. In fact, if I had to say, how would I characterize the UK's energy policy? There it is. Yeah, somebody took a picture of the UK setting energy policy for itself right there. It gets worse. Britain is a poor country, is about to get even poorer, because they say here in this 11 January article in The Telegraph, an exodus of wealth creators is going to show Rachel Reeves that she can't tax her way out of this economic and fiscal crisis. If only there were a famous British figure she could refer to for guidance. Oh, yeah, Churchill. He said, I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. There it is. It's absolutely true. You cannot tax your way into prosperity. Eventually, you tax your way to the point where you just crash everything. It's been run over and over again. And so, at any rate, that's where that is. Now, we are going to shift now. And if you're watching this on YouTube, that stream's about to end. You can still continue to follow us, of course, always at Peak Prosperity. There it is. The Signal Hour is at the top of the fold of the page. You can click there. We have a stream running there at Peak Prosperity. If you're watching there at Peak Prosperity, okay, you can follow us down on Rumble, of course, also Odyssey and on X. So figure out where you want to follow us. But Nick, I'm going to ask you to turn off the YouTube portion of this stream now and just let me know when that has actually happened, because we have to discuss this other part, which is it's worse than go woke, go broke. This becomes go woke, get dead. Discussing actual science and health data, YouTube is now back to strictly forbidding this. I don't know what they're up to here. I don't quite understand why they would take the approach they do. I think it's because of, I don't know, is it just money because, you know, pharma's got their hand in their pockets? Or is it just the ideology? They're actually legit offended that somebody would dare to bring science back into the conversation. So we're going to go through some of that science right now and talk about that and get there. So just, I'm going to burn another second here just to make sure that Nick has this, the YouTube portion turned off, because this is definitely strike worthy. What's coming up next is absolutely not okay at Evil Central. So before I go there, we have Charger Mopar saying energy has been an important part of this channel since the Crash Course days. Indeed, it has. If you haven't seen the Crash Course or watched it and you like context, go for it. Check out the Crash Course. And Joe Blow saying that millionaires are leaving en masse. If that's the case, bye-bye taxable base. So off they go. All right. We'll carry on. All right, let's start here. You remember when the COVID jabs first came out, right? And this is actually still on the CDC's webpage today. I just pulled this, okay? And they say here, first, the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines are given in the upper arm muscle or upper thigh, depending on age of who's getting vaccinated. So squirt right into the muscle. And then they say after vaccination, the mRNA will enter the muscle cells. Now, they don't explicitly say this vaccine is going to 100% stay in the deltoid, but they implied that. And when you say the mRNA will enter the muscle cells, that also leads the witness to a particular conclusion, which is, oh, this stuff goes into a muscle and then it gets taken up by muscle cells. At no point do they say, and it also will wander diffusely around the body and enter other cells too, right? They're clearly not saying that even to this day. And then they say once inside, the mRNA uses the cell's machinery to produce a harmless piece of what's called a spike protein. Okay. Actually, no, that's not the case. It's not a harmless piece. It is the entirety of the spike protein, which we now know and have known for a long time, 3 years now, that the entirety of the spike protein is actually a toxic substance. It has toxic features and outcomes from its thing. It causes clotting because of the, interacts with the fibrin structures, and it's got these amyloid sequences, so it causes inappropriate folding, so you get these big clots that your body can't break down. It's toxic in all sorts of other ways. At any rate, but these are two lies at once, one by omission, one by commission. They're omitting to tell you that it enters the muscle cells and any other cells it comes in contact with. And so that's the omission. And the commission is saying it's a harmless piece of what's called the protein, spike protein. It's not a harmless piece. It's the whole thing. Okay. And then finally, they say after the protein piece is made, our cells break down the mRNA and remove it, leaving the body as waste. But we have examples now of people who are still producing spike protein more than a year after their last injection. So anyway, make of that what you will. That may be a different mechanism, but for sure, the idea that you have this temporary production of spike protein because the mRNA comes in and stays where it's supposed to and then it degrades, that's false. It's been falsified by science. Science you can't talk about on YouTube anymore. Make a guess why. All right. We knew this a long time ago because this was actually a release that got FOIA'd out of the Japanese equivalent of the FDA when back in the day. And this was part of the submission documentation for the Pfizer vaccine before it even went to market. And they said, oh, what did they do? Well, they took a single intramuscular, that's what IM means up here, intramuscular dose of 50 micrograms of mRNA into a rat. And then they had radioactively tagged that particular, I think they tagged the LNP. And then they asked the question, well, where do we detect radioactivity after the fact? Now, and these are total concentrations that you would find in various places. And so you see, well, they found it in the fat tissue, it was in the adrenal glands, much less in the bladder, some in the bone, a lot more in the bone marrow, some even found in the brain. There's some in the eyes, some in the heart, a lot at the injection site. This is 128.3 compared to these point zeros and points and things like that. But it showed up in the ovaries and the lymph nodes. Basically, it went everywhere. Okay. It's just everywhere. Most of it, they still found at a quarter of a minute, 15 seconds in, most of it was here in the injection site. But then over time, at 48 hours, you start to see that where at the injection site, there was 164.9 reading. Okay, that's still a lot. But now, look here, in the large intestine, we have a reading of 24. That's now a comparable number on a percentage basis. And a lot shows up in the ovaries for some reason. And a lot is showing up in the spleen for some reason. So this is the data they had. So they knew before licensure, they had this what's called pharmacokinetic data. You inject this stuff into an animal and you say, where's it go? That's the kinetics. Where'd it go? Everywhere. So this statement right here, this is a lie of omission. Yep, the mRNA will enter the muscle cells and many, many other tissues, all of them, right? And in particular, we got it here in, oh, that was liver. Sorry, not large intestine. Liver is a high count at 48 hours. And a huge amount in the spleen, where, of course, your blood cells are doing a maturation process, and in the ovaries. When, of course, one of the other things they were telling us, and of course, I'm very glad to not be on YouTube right now because I can speak freely. They also told us that this did not impact women's fertility. But we have a lot of this mRNA showing up in the ovaries of female rats. So here's where we are in the cycle, just to be clear. Remember, they start with, no, that never happened. And then they tell you that's a right-wing conspiracy theory. And now we're at that, well, you know what? That might be happening. And soon that'll be followed by, yeah, but it's not a big deal. And then they're going to try and tell us it's good. And that's where we are. Because this is astonishing to me. This is astonishing. This shows the level of let me get my thing back up. The level of mentidization that's going on here. Now, this is Scott Gottlieb. He is now a Pfizer board member. He is the former FDA commissioner during a time when these jabs were approved and rolled out. So imagine that. You're the FDA commissioner. You approve this multi-$100 billion product for the company that you then go and join the board of. I hear Scott has a very nice car. He lives in the Gold Coast of Connecticut, and he's got, he's doing pretty well for himself. But listen to this. This is astonishing to me.
You said on CNBC that RFK Jr. could cost lives as HHS secretary. I would assume that means that you would prefer he not become HHS secretary. Is that a fair statement?
That's right.
Yeah. I was hoping you could run us through exactly what it is that you think he could do on vaccines that would be damaging. I mean, there's not really a chance of unapproving MMR, is there?
So I think you'll see efforts to do things like disband ACIP, try to get like-minded people, anti-vaxxers on ACIP who would potentially...
That's the vaccine committee of the CDC.
The Advisory Committee for Immunization Practices that advises CDC on immunization practices and makes recommendations about what should be included in the childhood immunization.
We would only want a certain type of person on these committees. You wouldn't want a diversity of opinion, right? Because who would want diversity of opinion? You would only want people who are actually already on your side on these committees. Obviously, that's what he's saying, but it gets worse. Listen to this.
Schedule. So if you took all the vaccines that are currently recommended by CDC and you move them into the category that's called joint decision-making, which is a separate category that that requires a joint decision between the physician and the patient, as opposed to being recommended where it becomes part of the child immunization schedule and the school entrance requirements.
Oh, it's like, we wouldn't want this to be a thing where it's a decision that's made with, you know, somebody talking with their doctor and, you know, weighing risks and benefits and all of that. We wouldn't want that. We would want it to be recommended where it becomes mandatory, because otherwise your kid can't go to school, right? This is a level of authoritarian. He's a nut job. This is dangerous, dangerous thinking right here. It's anti-scientific. And so, of course, they charge RFK with the very things that these same nut jobs are actually guilty of. Scott Gottlieb's like, well, you know what I don't like about him is he's anti-science. We would prefer instead that we just do things the way we've always done them, which is no science and only friends and family on the ACIP board, forcing everybody to take these things. But we're going to call it a recommendation, even though it's a mandate, really, when you get right down to it, right? Because if the alternative is get the vaccine so your kid can go to public school so you can go to work, or suddenly become a homeschooling family, it's not. Don't go out on a date with this guy unless you like being coerced, is, I guess, is what I'm saying. No conscience, obviously. Endo Explained says it here. Yeah, no conscience. Yeah, erased by the pursuit of wealth. Absolutely true. This is really great. I mean, listen to this again. This is astonishing. How do you think this way?
Category that's called joint decision making. Which,
yeah, we would want what's called joint decision making. That's crazy. That's like you have to spend time with your doctor, and they actually have to know what's in this thing that we've just put out as a company. They would have to know what's in there and talk to you about, you know, do you really want these particular things, not including just the vaccine elements, but also the aluminum adjuvants and all the preservatives and, you know, the polysorbates and the polyethylene glycol and, well, you know, the lipid stuff. Like, this is insane. He's like, no, this, you would enter this crazy world of joint decision making. Again, don't go on a date with this guy.
A separate category that that requires a joint decision between the physician and the patient, as opposed to being recommended where it becomes part of the child immunization schedule and the school entrance requirements.
Wow. So this is, we're up against ideology here. And the ideology is, you will do what we say, peasant. And if that means we have to kill you, that's okay with us, right? We're fine with that. That's a sacrifice we're willing to make, right? That's how they phrase this. So here's the question. If these things go through such a rigorous process, and this process really should not be derailed, then I don't understand why there's such a thing as vaccine immunity for the manufacturers such as Pfizer. Why do you need vaccine immunity? If they're that good, if they are that unabashedly good for everyone, then you don't need the liability waiver. Pro tip, when a company gets a liability waiver for anything it does, it's going to do the worst job it possibly can at those things. It's just profit maximization. Again, I'm a realist. Politics is going to have a seat at the table. Money interests like this slick back mother are going to have a seat at the table, but science needs to have a seat at the table. So if these vaccines are that good, all RFK Jr.'s ever said is, let's run them through the kind of studies they should have been run through, and then let's see what the data says. If the data says, on balance, these things are not good, then that's what the data says, and you adjust, and you figure out what you want to do next, right? And I get it. It's probably a complicated decision set. But to just try and shut everything down and pretend like you're a conspiracy theorist nut job, if you want to have data, and it's coming from the mouth of this guy who's driving, I hear, a McLaren SLR, living in the Gold Coast of Connecticut, cashing in big giant checks. He is clearly the most conflict of interest person on the planet. For like, you can't have a Pfizer board member explaining why Pfizer's position is the right moral thing for the nation without questioning that. So crappy job by the interviewer here too. Really bad.
You said
so let's talk about this. We now have a new study that just came out. Came out on the 14th of January, and it's in Nature, good journal, used to be. We'll see if it can recover its reputation post-COVID. It's in Nature Biotechnology, which is one of its subjournals. Kind of a not exciting title. Nano carrier imaging at single cell resolution across entire mouse bodies with deep learning. What's that? Glad you asked. Actually, this is about what happens and where does the mRNA vaccine actually go and what does it do? And this is absolutely astonishing what they found here. They say here, I'm gonna put my laser, so I'm going to start reading right about here. So the SCP Nano, their technology, reveals the tissue distribution patterns of lipid nanoparticles, the LNPs, after different injection routes at doses as low as, holy smacklers, that's low, 0.0005 milligrams per kilogram, far below the detection limits of conventional whole body imaging techniques. In yellow. This is, they buried the lead, right? That's the lead. Nanocarrier imaging, blah, 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 deep learning. Quote, we demonstrate that intramuscularly injected LNPs, which is the route of administration, as we discussed in the deltoid, carrying SARS-CoV-2 spike mRNA, reach heart tissue, leading to proteome changes, suggesting immune activation and blood vessel damage. Oh. We put these LNPs in and we have blood vessel damage and we also have immune activation and proteome changes. So the heart is damaged. The heart vessels and the heart itself are damaged by this stuff. This is the kind of whole body distribution studies and also pharmacodynamics, like what actually happens. So pharmacokinetics is where it spreads, but the dynamics are like, well, how long is it in the body? Where does it clear? What kind of effects does it have? Is it reaching the place we wanted to reach? Is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? Where it's supposed to be doing it? Or is it doing some stuff we don't want to have happen elsewhere? Those are all the studies that should have been done. I submit to you, they probably were, but the data sucked. And that's why Pfizer wanted 75 years to release that data. But this is the CDC again. We read those top two bullet points. Now we're going to move on to this third bullet point they had, and they said quite famously and lying enormously here, they said, next, our cells display the spike protein piece on their surface. And again, they're saying spike protein piece. It's not, it's the whole thing. Our immune system recognizes that the protein does not belong there. This triggers our immune system to produce antibodies and activate other immune cells to fight off what it thinks is an infection. Yeah, so here's the problem. If you have a heart cell, and by the way, when your heart cells die, they are not replaced. It's one of the few tissues out there that doesn't regenerate for the most part. I think there's maybe it's a slightly, but mostly it doesn't. So if you have a heart muscle cell and it's displaying this foreign protein on its surface and says, hey, I'm not a heart muscle, I am an invader, and then your body attacks the invader, that's how the heart damage can happen. Okay. Myocarditis, that's what we would call it. And so what they're saying is, oh, yeah, you know, the cells just display this spike protein on the surface and then your body attacks it, you know. Well, that's great unless this stuff is going to the heart. And here they're saying, oh, yeah, we found this stuff in the heart tissue. Right. Oops. No good. All right. Nick Holscher wrote about this exact study, said here that even at low doses, systemic distribution of LNPs and translated mRNA was measurable. And these data demonstrate that COVID-19 mRNA injection LNPs systemically circulate and are taken up into vital organ systems, resulting in body-wide toxic spike protein production. And again, the spike protein is toxic. We know this. That's science. That's what Scott Gottlieb hates. That's what he's afraid of, is that somebody like RFK is going to come along and go, can we just talk about what this data tells us? Here's some data. Can we just talk about this? Can we just add it to the conversation? Does it always just have to be about either you're for Pfizer profits or you're an evil conspiracy anti-vaxxer? Not nuanced enough. Nuance says maybe we should talk about this. And by the way, Nicholas repeating the same thing I said earlier, which is biodistribution studies really should have been performed before the mass vaccination of the entire world's population. And these invasive gene therapy injections must be pulled from the global markets immediately. And they are gene therapy injections. Get to that in a second. But This also just came out. Actually, this came out in February of 2024. But when this came out less than a year ago, this is at any rate, they said, well, now that we've given 99 million vaccine, what can we tell, you know? And so what they could tell right away was that anywhere that you had, so here's three different vaccines. You've got your Oxford, you've got the Pfizer and the Moderna. Those are those top three, 1, 2, 3, the Chadox, the BNT and the mRNA 1273. This is myocarditis. This is pericarditis. If it's red, that means it's a statistically significant safety signal. No bueno. That throws up a flag. Full stop. Get this drug off the market. Let's find out what we got. What's wrong? Yellow is a statistically significant finding. And if there's a green in here, it's not statistically significant. We are either statistically significant or we've thrown off an alarming safety signal for myocarditis, for pericarditis. And across doses 1, 2, 3, or 4, things just, by dose 3, things are pretty bad down here. You don't get a third dose of the Oxford here, which is why that's a 0. Full stop, timeout. These things are bad just from a myocarditis, pericarditis standpoint. Not good. Okay. So that's data. So this is the kind of stuff that obviously, if you're a healthy, intact culture, this has a seat at the table. This is what RFK Jr. is saying. We're going to bring this back and we're going to talk about this. If he gets confirmed, this is what we're going to talk about. Like, okay, now that we know this, now we have to back calculate a little and dig through the archives and say, well, who had this? Because, you know, they had this data way before we did, right? By the time they've released this in a paper, many, many months after the fact, years after the fact, they had this data in hand before licensure. And so the question is, well, why did they choose to sit on it? And why would you, knowing this data is true, knowing that for COVID, if you were under 50 and had no comorbidities, you had what was effectively a zero risk from COVID, why would you trade a zero risk in a, say, a 14-year-old boy for this kind of levels of myocarditis and pericarditis? Why would you trade one risk for the other? Well, somebody made that decision. In fact, to this day, CDC, on their recommended schedule, COVID vaccines for 6 months old babies and up. Can they point to any overt risk? No, just this one. Heart attacks and things like that. So that's the data. That's what we need to talk about. This is the kind of stuff, obviously, I can't have on YouTube, which is why you're not watching it there at all. So, and speaking of which, though, the tide is actually shifting now. And this is why I think they're extra scared. And this explains why we're seeing a renewed censorship effort on YouTube. They're trying desperately, thrashing tail of a dying dragon. They're trying desperately to get this system back under control. We can't listen to white men, right? They're just getting, it's getting desperate. And I kind of enjoy the desperation. Feels good. And here, like, this is astonishing to hear this.
How many other patriots, how many other people of conscience? We haven't even talked about COVID and the tens of thousands of service members who were kicked out because of an experimental vaccine. In President Trump's Defense Department, they will be apologized to. They will be reinstituted with pay and rank. Things like focusing on extremism, Senator, have created a climate inside our ranks that feel political when it hasn't ever been political. Those are the types of things that are going to change. And Senator Sullivan, you mentioned that study. After a whole study was held, extremism working group study, 100 extremists were identified in the ranks of 3 million. And most of those were gang related. So it was a made up boogeyman to begin with.
What was that again?
Experimental vaccine. In President Trump's Defense Department, they will be apologized to. They will be reinstituted with pay and rank.
Oh, did you read the data? Did you think about things? Did you have a religious objection or exemption? And you got fired out of the military for not wanting to take their experimental gene product? Reinstatement. That's what healing sounds like. But this is a huge shift. This has got to be creating enormous fear in the ideological crew of people, or the people who are just completely conflicted by their checkbook. Which is probably Scott Gottlieb's case, because he's not dumb. I mean, he clearly can mentally handle this kind of like data, but he's choosing not to, right? And so you get to decide what kind of a human being you think that makes him. I think I have to go to the Bible to really begin to understand where he's headed next on this whole thing, because this is just, it's just straight up, it's been straight up evil. But it's changing, and this was really the most astonishing, absolutely astonishing exchange that I saw this past week. I wanted to share this with you right now because this is amazing to me. What we're going to hear from is the guy in the lower right corner down there with the glasses and the swooped over hair down there. That's LA Times owner, Los Angeles Times owner, Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong. And this is astonishing. So the LA Times, I kind of think of it as well, it's another mainstream newspaper, right? They've done some pretty good stuff over the years, right? They ran one of the biggest exposés on the Sackler family and the whole opioid epidemic and all that stuff. But still, this was an astonishing exchange given where we actually are in the demonization sweep of RFK Jr. Listen in.
You know, I think people misunderstand Bobby Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. He's really all about the science. I've sat down with him, met with him for the first time. I've not known him until I sat down with him because I wanted to understand what he was thinking. And after hours of sitting down with him, I was so impressed. He knows more about the science than most doctors. What he says, let me give you some examples about this red dye, blue dye, et cetera. That's been published for 12 years in very reputable journals that they're carcinogenic. Now think about this. We know for 12 years they're carcinogenic. The Europeans know they're carcinogenic. Guess what the Europeans do? They ban it. So I went to London and found a food, a candy, I won't name the company so I won't get them into trouble, the candy, and the company, the same candy in the US, and I put them together. The UK, zero food coloring. The coloring comes from vegetables, beets, etc. In the US, it's all this red dye, blue dye. Why do we allow, when we know scientifically that there's carcinogens in the things we're giving to our children, and in the UK and Europe, they banned it, but we allow it? Why?
There it is. I mean, you really can feel the tide turning, right? And of course, this is what normal adults would do, right? They would say, well, why would we even have these dyes and use these dyes when we have mountains of evidence going back more than a decade that say that they cause hyperactivity, they cause cancer, they do all kinds of things, and they're unnecessary. We can use natural food colorings that don't have that, or maybe we don't use food colorings at all and your Skittles are kind of bland looking or whatever the story is, but we don't do that, right? And so this is something that you know, we have a food webinar running right now at Peak Prosperity, and we go through all of this base data and also how you can avoid all of this stuff and things you can do. I'm convinced that the number one thing that people are going to be focusing on over this next year in my circle is going to be how to become healthy again, because what we've just learned is that our system is shot through with Scott Gottlieb's in the FDA, at Nestle, hanging out at Mars, wherever they are. They're all there. And you know what they're doing? They are, for whatever reasons, and I hope it's just money and that's evil enough, but they're doing things that actively and collectively and cumulatively have been damaging our health and damaging the health of our children. And we see it in the macro statistics, right? The levels of obesity, the level of metabolic disorder, the lower life expectancy, the massive expenditures we have to spend on all these sick people, the pharmaceutical costs. Listen, we're all sick and tired of that. And what do we do? Well, it begins by understanding that our job is to look at the actual, we're going to let data get back in charge. And we're going to have to put adults back in charge, which means we're going to fire people who are fundamentally bad at their jobs. And so to carry on this idea that the tide is turning, notice here that in Japan, Professor Dr. Seiji Kojima said, compared to those who are unvaccinated, the mortality rate is 5 times higher if you get vaccinated twice. They're using the Pfizer vaccine. We cannot continue these mRNA vaccines. Well, not only are they continuing them, but they're starting in with something called a self-amplifying or self-replicating mRNA vaccine. Yay, it's going to make more of itself in your body. And it's just, time out, folks. We're the demons are in charge, but they're scrambling because we're starting to notice and people are starting to really catch on to this whole thing, which is good. Okay. Now, I don't know how this would have landed on you 5 years ago, but listen to this now. And this is just Bill Gates just last year, very excitedly talking about these things that have a 5 times higher rate of death, which I think is a bad outcome for a vaccine. Here he is. This lands so poorly now. I have to really wonder, does he even have advisors who are cluing him into how the world is beginning to see him? But listen to this. This is astonishing.
Making the mRNA is really easy and really cheap. And that's the magic of this thing. But there's no doubt in the next 5 years, we can, you know, we just need to mess around. There's a lot of lipid nanoparticles and some are very self-assembling. There's no inherent reason it's not thermal stable, it's not cheap, and it's not scalable. And so as over the 5 years, we fix that part of it, mature it, which is very typical, we'll be able to build factories worldwide that can make $2 vaccines with even less lead time than we've had to have here during this pandemic. And we'll use
And we all saw what just happened when you cut the lead time down. Nothing good. This is, I mean, that people are listening to this guy, that he gets all this. Listen, he's got money. Who the hell? Money. Money printed by the Federal Reserve out of thin air and mostly distributed to ultra wealthy people. It's just no bueno. But anyway, just because he has money, like they treat it as if we're listening to one of the world's most preeminent vaccinologists or epidemiologists or somebody who's like qualified in any meaningful way. He's not. This gentleman here, Bill Gates, is known to be a cutthroat, if not psychopathic businessman, crushes competition, and that's how he is. So he's just found another business model that he likes a lot. He hasn't suddenly turned anthropologically like benign. He hasn't suddenly become the world's nicest philanthropist. He's not doing this because he cares about your health. Come on, let's be clear. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them the first time, says Maya Angelou. I believe this guy. He showed me with his defective Windows products exactly who this guy is. I struggle still to this day with some of his defective products. And I wish he'd spend his billions making his products better than trying to genetically modify mosquitoes and unleash a self-replicating mRNA vaccine that cannot be turned off potentially and creates a worldwide disaster. But that's him. That's enough of him. I can't even stand listening. But look, we're getting data all over the place. Obviously, this is a clot taken out of somebody post-mortem, Richard Hirschman hearing from the embalmers out there. And this is not slowing down, unfortunately. They're still finding these massive, very atypical clots. I've covered this in detail in the past, but that's not a typical clot. A typical clot is going to be more the color of what you see up at the very end here, this current jelly, as they call it. It's a dark, very friable, very, breaks easily. These are tough, rubbery, very whitish sort of things, mostly composed of misfolded fibrin, it looks like at this point in time. And that's because of the toxic spike protein. Making spike protein makes these things. Having these things in your veins and arteries, no bueno, obviously. We've had an epidemic of this for a long time. Has the CDC done anything about that? Nope. Has the FDA done anything about that? Nope. Has anybody really done anything except for people like Richard Hirschman? Nope. But there it is. And so to close this out, we had a question from Squash Doc back at Peak Prosperity saying maybe you could address this topic today. It's the gift that keeps on giving. She said here that on John Campbell's YouTube channel, he shared a paper from Japan that showed conclusively 2+ doses of coronavirus 19 vax almost doubled your chances of a coronavirus reinfection. You already know this. You probably have friends, family. They're up to date with their boosters and they get COVID all the time and they can't close the circle because that abstraction of vaccines are good. I don't want to be an anti-vax. Can't close back around to the reality of going, but why am I the one always goes, always getting sick? Why do we have more shoplifting? How come our energy is more expensive than everybody else? Those are the sorts of reality short circuits that aren't happening out there in people who live solely in this world of abstractions. Sure. Spend a little time in the world of abstraction, but make sure you get your daily dose of reality. You know, we got the minimum daily dose of reality. You should have that. And as well said, as I scanned the clickbait from Edge, this stooge reaffirms coronavirus saved millions of lives. But you get cancer. Cancer is a whole other topic. We can talk about that at some point. That's going to take a whole, I don't have time for it, but it's going to take a whole episode. The short answer is that transfecting, which means inserting, like taking a bullet that's outside your body and pushing it into your body at high speed out of the barrel of a gun, transfecting DNA into your cells is a very bad idea. That's what actually happened here. They had live DNA, replication competent plasmid DNA, not RNA. DNA came along for the ride, was pulled up into those LNPs. It's packaged in there and pushed into the cells. That's called transfection. And transfecting DNA into your body is a very bad idea. Little bit of an oopsie. But I'm glad to see that the Japanese study did confirm what we found out from the Cleveland study, my favorite one. And by the way, this is new. If you haven't seen it, I know many of you have seen this chart before, but this is the newest one. This one goes to 190 days. The old one cut off, I think, at about 98 days. So they just kept gathering. This is an update to the Cleveland study. So now it just goes on longer. And the same trends came out before, all the way down in black, zero doses across 190 days. And you see up there on the y-axis is the cumulative incidence of COVID-19. It just says that if you have zero doses of COVID vaccine, you have the least chance of getting COVID in the future. If you had one dose, you had more of a chance, a lot more. If you have two, even more than that. Three, even more than that. Four, even more than that. This is the most clear dose response curve you could ever hope for. If this was a drug that they were trying to get this behavior from, this thing is a rock star. More shots equals more COVID. Your friends know that who've gotten shots. We've known it anecdotally. It's true. And we're finding out from Squash Doc here that Japan, I'll have to look at that John Campbell YouTube piece because Japan has now confirmed that. We now know more shots equals more COVID, not less COVID. I'm a little unclear on what these vaccine things are supposed to do. I thought they were supposed to give you less of the disease, not more of it. So that's the story. At any rate, that is my signal hour. And it looks like it was signal hour in 19 minutes today. So I had a lot to talk about. I'm loving these signal hours. If you like them, hey, let me know as well. Come on back to peakprosperity.com if you like this kind of content, because this is what I do all week long. We have scouting reports, a great community of people there. So if you are a free thinking person and you like being around other free thinking people who are going to wrestle with whatever the data tells them, and we're going to figure this world out together, I invite you to come to Peak Prosperity, become a member, help support what I do, but more importantly, get with your tribe, because there's some predicaments coming. And I want you to be resilient. I want you to be happy, whole, healthy, prepared, ready for what's coming next. And that's going to take a lot more effort than most people suspect. So with that, thanks very much for listening. Thanks for being here. And we'll be back with you next. Well, I think it's going to be Thursday next week instead of Wednesday. I'll inform you as to when the next signal hour is, because I'll be traveling. All right. See you everybody next time, whenever that happens to be. Bye for now.